Welcome to the family, you beautiful savages. Before we start this podcast, I want to apologize for the quality of sound. Unfortunately, we had to do it through the phone because of this crazy pandemic. We're practicing social distancing. I recommend everyone does as well. Be an example, not a problem, or the problem. I hope you enjoy this podcast. I did it with my boy Alex. And yeah, so hopefully you guys enjoy it. With Alex, we're going over his quarantine top five sneakers. He has some heat on here, and then he has some like just like regular, like, but I'm not gonna call them beaters, but like a good everyday, like comfort wear one, like wear type shoes. That's what he has on the list, and I'm not mad at it, man. I'm not mad at this top five. This isn't like a hype beast top five. This is like a legit, like, I like sneakers, but I also like to be comfortable at the same time.
Facts. That's pretty much what it is.
I'm not mad at it, man. I mean, we've known each other for a while, and when I first was starting to get into the sneaker game, you know, it was all about, and you know how it was, bro, when you knew me back then, it was all about, like, the retros and shit. And then it started changing, man. It went from like retros to like Ultra Boost to like Asics and shit like that, man.
Yeah, actually, it's funny you said Asics, bro. I thought about throwing some of my Asics in the top five just for that exact reason, just to kind of represent that sort of era, or that would kind of remind me. That's kind of what my sneaker wheel was. It was sort of like a little bit from each era of, you know, when I've been collecting. Like you said, there's some that you could wear. You could pick one or two of those and just probably wear them every day for the rest of your life and be straight. And then, you know, there's a couple of them that, like you said, is like a little bit of flex. Like, you got the South Beaches on there, whatnot. But that's kind of how the Asics were. That's what I was bringing it back to that. The Asics, you know, they kind of had those fire colorways. They always had, like, collabs, different materials, just different stuff that kind of made them limited, made them exclusive. And that's sort of just the stuff that got me into the sneaker game, like, stuff that has a story behind it. You know what I mean? Not just, like you said, getting into it was, oh, you wanted the flu games because Jordan wore the flu games, or you wanted, you know, the Vince Carter shocks because Vince Carter was wearing the shocks. But
right.
once you get past that level, just kind of understanding sneakers and stories, collabs, and different stuff that really, you know, get you further into the game.
How's everything going, man? Living through quarantine, everything okay?
You know, a lot of boredom, a lot of chilling at the crib, playing PlayStation, watching Netflix, but, you know, it could be a lot worse. What's that?
You got enough toilet paper?
Yeah, bro, I'm stocked up. I'm good. I got some old white tees. Just, you know, worst comes to worst, I guess we could cut them up. But, yeah, so maintaining, bro. How about yourself? You living through the quarantine?
Yeah, man, we're trying. My mom has us hunkered down, man. She's a nurse, and and, you know, the situation with my brother, he has his chemo, or he has his leukemia. So, man, we're not going out anywhere. I'm not going out
right.
anywhere. I'm gonna try to bring any chances in, you know, just
absolutely, bro. Obviously, me, man, you know, my pops is kind of in a similar situation up in Ohio, and I just talked to him on the phone the other day, and he told me he ain't left the house in like seven days. He ain't left. So I'm like, that's how it's supposed to be, man. Keep yourself safe, and same thing, like you said, the people around you got to be smart as well.
Yep. But all right, man. So we're going to start from the top of the list, or from the top of the circle. And the first one you have on top is the Flyknit Racer.
It's the one. Racer. It's the original one. Yeah, the original multicolor. Or not the original multicolor, actually. There was a release before that one. But the original Flyknit Racer.
This was
2000. I don't know the exact year. It's way back there, though. Yeah, it's came out a long time ago. I've had it since they came out. I got them at the Foot Locker up in Tampa and International. That was one of those cops when I was super excited. You know, when you waiting for a shoe to come out and then it comes out that day and you cop that day, and then they're still there a week later, but you're still hyped you got it regardless. You know what I'm saying? That was one of those. So. Yeah, that I don't know if it would be like number one on my list. I kind of just, you know, made the sneaker wheel in general. They're all in my top five, no particular order. But I definitely got to include that one. It's, you know, kind of one of those that I referenced earlier in the beginning that I said you could wear that shoe every day. It's a good everyday type of shoe. It's obviously multicolor, so, you know, you got all the different colors in there. You don't even really try to match it or nothing like that. You just kind of rock that shoe with whatever, and that's what I liked about it. It was definitely one of my everyday go-to shoes for a long time.
Yeah, man. I love it, man. When they came out, I couldn't get a pair for two reasons. Oh, yeah. One, I couldn't find a 14. And two,
they're narrow. 13 yeah, they narrow. Are, bro. And it's a really weird shoe to even wear. Like, even if they do fit your feet right, like, just like everyday wear when you're walking around with like a super skinny midsole like that, it takes a lot of getting used to. But I do like the shoe in general. I have like multiple other colorways of the Flyknit Racer just because I like it so much. It's a super lightweight shoe. And once you get used to them, they are pretty comfortable. But yeah, man, that one particular had to be in the top five for sure. I don't wear it as much anymore. Like I said, it's kind of retired because it's definitely in my top five all time.
Yeah, I mean, so like I'm trying to do one with a podcast with TJ. And he switched up his top five because originally he had all the Hypebeast stuff, and then he kind of heard the podcast I did with Rob, and he was like, "Well, let me switch it up to like pairs that I actually have a story with." So I just think it's cool, like how, you know, people are so much into the sneaker culture where they have multiple top fives, and, you know, like you said, it's
right, exactly. They all could be number one in a separate category. You know what I'm saying? Like, depending on what you're going for, but just as a general for me, like, you know, and that's kind of what I think these podcasts are about, is getting to know, you can kind of tell a lot about a person, not just by the sneaker collection, but, you know, people like us who got a whole collection. When you tell somebody to pick their top five, you can tell a lot about a person, you know, because I'm sure everybody that you might do these podcasts with got, you know, a dozen pair of different retros. We all got different, you know, Flu Games, we all got the Bred 11s, we all got the Concords, but it's kind of like those other one-offs here and there that mean something to you or have a little bit more meaning than just a really dope shoe or something that looks nice is what's unique about it.
Yeah, man, I would agree with that, man, especially when it comes to, you know, our line of work, just, you know.
Right,
you
know, and that's why the multicolors made the list, because I wore them to work for a long time, like probably almost a whole year I was wearing them off and on to work. And they're comfortable, and I got so many compliments on them, and that just made me wear them outside of work. You know, there have been times where, shoot, I would work, you know, 9 to 6, 9 to 7, get off work, and then go out and keep the same shoes on. You feel me? And go out till whatever, 12, 1 o'clock in the morning, and be wearing the same shoes all day just because I wore them to work and I wore them out. So there's not many shoes that you can do that with. You know, at least I'll say you can't do that with all shoes.
All right. No, I agree. Like, you're not going to, for example, like, you're not going to rock, I mean, at least I wouldn't, but you wouldn't wear no Puma suede to work and then wear.
Oh, absolutely. Like, it might be the reverse situation where you wear something comfy to work and then you want to go out, you know, to dinner, and you put on the Puma suede just for a couple hours while you're out at dinner sitting down. But that's the thing.
Right. Yeah, man, I agree with you. All right, man, so the second
Bro, I'm not even looking at the picture. You tell me what, if I had to, I think it was the LeBrons, right? If I remember correctly. That's right, yeah. So, yeah, for sure, bro, the LeBron 9 South Beach, LeBron 9 Elite South Beach, I should say, technically. If I was going to make a, you know, overall, put a gun to my head, you only get to keep one pair of shoes for the rest of your life, this would probably be the pair. Nah, not the Kobe's. I would have to rock with the Bronze, bro, because, you know, LeBron's my man, being from Ohio and everything, watching him play since he was young. And those shoes just kind of like almost encapsulate LeBron's career to me in a way, because obviously he wore those when he was with the Heat when he got his first ring. And it's sort of the whole LeBron collection, as far as his shoes, saying, like, you know, peaked at the LeBron 9 as far as I'm concerned. And I think most, you know, that's sort of the general consensus. Like, people might say 8s, 9s, or 10s, but, like, you know, in the middle there is the 9. And then that's when he won his ring, and it's kind of like, you know, just encapsulates LeBron's career as well as, like, his sneakers. So, and, you know, that personally was my favorite colorway of the LeBron 9s. So my favorite LeBron silhouette, my favorite colorway of that silhouette, and then just all the backstory, of course, him winning his first championship with the Heat, getting that monkey off his back, proving all the haters wrong from the previous year when he choked with the Mavs. So I don't know, man, that's definitely, and not to mention it's a good looking shoe, bro, with the colorway, the pink, the teal, that obviously the South Beach name, the colorway speaks for itself. You can bust that out with some nice looking outfits, or you can kind of just wear it to work, and it is a comfortable shoe. You know, it's more of a modern basketball shoe. So you got the Air Max heel. It's a real lightweight construction with a bunch of mesh. I rock mine to work all the time, and I just loose lace them. I don't even tie them. And I don't know what else to say, man. You can probably tell I got a lot to say about that shoe. That's my overall number one.
Yeah, man. It's funny. Me and Rob and I, we definitely shouted you out on the last podcast because you're an Ohio boy. Yeah. And he had a few LeBrons on there as well. But no, man, this is definitely like an iconic. This is probably LeBron's most iconic shoe, the South Beach 9. Just the silhouette of it, just because of the things that you said. You know him winning his first championship with the Heat. Then, you know, the South Beach name too attached to it, you know, him going to Miami, and then, you know, that legendary team that they had there for a couple years or for a few years, you know, it was definitely an iconic shoe, and I think definitely changed like his view on his sneakers as well. Because ever since then, man, he's been coming out with better and better shoes, like more higher.
Yeah, I would say definitely legit, like the previous year, the LeBron 8s is actually probably my second favorite silhouette, and it might be my overall favorite comfortable as far as comfort. I think the 8s are a little more comfortable than the 9s, but I will agree, right? Kind of like around that LeBron 8, LeBron 9 is when the design of his shoes started to get a little more modern, include some actual like new Nike technology with the Air Max in the basketball shoe and encapsulated Zoom and stuff like that. I think I heard you and Rob talking about the LeBron 2s he had there, the black and red ones, which I had those exact ones in like a fucking grade school size 6 back in the day. But those things were heavy as hell, bro. And I think Rob said that those things were like leather. The mesh was like, I don't know, it was like this whack type of material. But obviously, it being like LeBron's signature shoe back in the day, you just wanted to have it just to have it. But these LeBron 9s kind of are the all-around, you know, the overall package, I would say. They felt good. They looked good. They had a good story and the whole nine yards. And people still, you know, they're still sought after. I think they still probably to this day have a pretty good resale value. I'm not sure. I haven't checked on them recently.
Nah, nor have I. But I'm pretty sure they would be, man, especially if they're, you know, super mint condition.
Yeah. They're okay. I mean, I wear them. Like I said, I wear them, but in the same breath, you know, I take care of them too. I don't beat them.
Shoes are meant to be worn, man. Every crease has a story.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So at the end of the day, they're not going to look like a perfect mint pair that I'm going to sell for fucking $750 down the road. But, you know, when I wear them, they still look good. They pop out and they feel good. So until I kind of beat them into the ground, they're going to stay in my collection probably for
some. Hey, man, I'm not mad at it. I did mention that you had a pair of Kobe's, man. And do you know which ones I'm
talking,
talking about
the OG joints. Those are like the O-est of G Kobe's, the Kobe Adidas Kobe, the toaster ovens, right? Yeah, bro. Yeah, I got those back at the crib in Ohio, I think. That's kind of like back what got me into the sneakers is, you know, the signature athlete back when I was like, you know, just getting into college, kind of like senior year of high school, first couple years of college when I was really into sneakers. You know, I'm not the type of person to just get into something and then hop on the wave and buy whatever's like hot. I kind of want to like do my research, kind of learn about the vintage stuff. And that's sort of what happened with those Kobe's is, you know, they were already on probably the Nike Kobe 7, Kobe 8 sometime when I bought those Kobe 1, Adidas Kobe 1s, but I snagged them off of an eBay sale one day back in college, bro, and I remember wearing those things around campus and people looking at me like, yo, what the hell is on your feet? But I fucking rocked them, bro. I love those shoes. Looking back on it, I probably would never wear them again just because they are so blocky and kind of goofy, and like I put them on one time and looked at my feet and was like, yo, what the hell is going on? But overall, it's never leaving the collection, bro. Just that nostalgia, you know what I mean? That's the type of stuff that got me into sneakers, and I'll never let stuff like that go.
Right. I ain't mad at it, man. I mean, I don't think I own a pair of Kobe's anymore, man. I think for some reason, I think I got rid of them, or I gave them to my cousin. I think I sold that on Raw too, but when I ended up getting them, I was super excited. I came to work and came flexing. I told you I had them, and y'all didn't believe me. And I pulled them out. I was like, I didn't realize what I had.
Yeah, I remember you had those Adidas Crazy 8s. You had a couple different Kobe's, if I remember right.
Yeah, I had the Black History Months. I think it was like the 8s or 9s, and I had a few other ones. But I was excited when I pulled them out, because you and another associate were like not trying me, but Y'all were picking at me because y'all were rocking Kobe's for a couple of days, and I was like, man, I got a few. I think let me check in my closet. Let me see what I got in the box.
Yeah, man, the Kobe's are obviously with, you know, nowadays the whole situation is crazy because I've been seeing people wear them out, you know, but in the same breath, I feel like a lot of people just gonna end up holding on to that, like the Kobe Grinches and like, you know, all the what the Kobe's and stuff like that. I feel like you won't see people wear stuff like that as much now, just with him passing away. People are going to want to hold on to that and try and keep it more mint condition and keep it more like a collector's item than a shoe, you know?
Yeah, I can see that happening. Well, and I don't blame them either, man. I mean, you know, it's like, especially when you're like a legit collector and you love shoes and, you know, you like the culture, you know, it's hard to part ways with it because you become kind of... I don't know if greedy is the right word, but I think it is.
Where it's like, you know, possessive. It's more like possessive. Being like, nah, like I want that in my possession. It's not even like a greed thing. It's just like, you know, being able to check that box in your mental, like, oh yeah, I got those. And that's how that's kind of the bring it full circle. That's how I feel about the LeBron 9 South Beaches. Like I didn't get that shoe on release date or anything like that. That was one of the shoes, actually, probably, yeah, I think the only shoe in this, in my top five that I paid resale for, and I actually didn't get them. My wife bought me those for Christmas one year because I've always talked about them and always wanted them, and she surprised me. So that's probably another reason why I keep them in the top five, because, you know, that was definitely a dub for the wifey for copping those for Christmas one year. I was, surprised and excited, so... All in all, those are one of my favorites. What's the next one in the circle?
The next one is the Black Cement 3s. Now, this is a 2008.
Yeah, that's with the Nike Air on the back. I think the first release they had, the previous releases had the Jumpman on the back, which was straight, bro. I think I actually had that was the 4s. I had the white cement 4s with the Jumpman and with the Nike Air at one point. But the Black Cement 3s with the Nike Air, bro, that's the only retro in the sneaker wheel. I sort of feel like you got to have, not got to, but, you know, anybody saying they're not into retros and they're into the sneaker game is sort of lying, if you ask me, because retros in the sneaker game is almost like synonymous. You know what I'm saying? Like, even people who aren't part of hip-hop or, like, urban culture, you see everybody rocking retros. It's almost just like a fashion statement, you know, Selena Gomez, Bella Hadid, like girls like that rock retro ones and stuff nowadays. So you gotta have some retros in the collection, not say you gotta cop every release every Saturday. But that's what the Black Cement 3s represent for me. They're kind of like the representation of my retro collection. It's my favorite silhouette, the Retro 3. I think that's yours as well, right?
Yeah, man, that's my favorite silhouette. I have a shitload of the same shoe, different color when it comes to the Retro 3. Retro 3s are my favorite.
So you'll feel me. Maybe you'll feel me when I say this then. The Retro 3s get a lot of hate, bro. Like, a lot of times, like, people be like, oh, no, I don't like 3s, da-da-da-da-da. And it's so weird to me because, like, Black Cement 3s, White Cement 3s, and White Cement 4s is sort of what got me into retros in general. Like, I remember seeing Chris Brown rock some white cement fours and just being like, ooh, shit, what is that? Those are dope. And, you know, those are more of the iconic different colorways. You know, every other colorway is just like a Chicago Bulls colorway, like the Flu Games or the Bred 11s or stuff like that. You feel me?
So when it comes to the Retro 3 silhouette, I just think it's just slept on compared to like the 1, the 4, the 12, 11, yeah. 12, 13, 14. You know what I'm saying? Like compared to all those, I just think they're not as impressive. But man, they're a beautiful shoe, man. They're, you can wear them with anything. You wear them with jeans, gym shorts. You know, you wear them with shorts if you want to go
hey,
back.
Hey, I got some shorts, bro. I'll be rocking my shorts. But, nah, you said it, though. The jeans with the cement threes is a clean look, bro, especially those black cement threes with a dark pair of jeans and, like, a black polo. Like, you know, that's a straight outfit, kind of versatile outfit that you can go a lot of places with. And I think, honestly, even the threes have that sort of more of, like, a dressed-up appearance more than, like, a sneaker, in my opinion, especially, like, with the black leather. So if you are going somewhere a little bit nicer, but you still want to wear some, you know, some fly sneakers, you might be able to get away with some cement threes. But all in all, man, just like, I don't know, like I said, that sort of embodies like my retro collection. Of course, I got multiple other, you know, 11s. I got, like you said, I got a couple other threes. I got the True Blue threes. If they ever come back out with the white cement threes with the Nike Air on the back, the 88s, I would definitely be copping those.
Oh, but man, those would be amazing.
I'm definitely, same. Yeah, I'm even a fan of the Tinkers, bro. I know a lot of those Tinkers kind of flopped and people didn't like them. But for me, every single one of those that came out in my head, I was like, yo, I could kind of wear it. I could see myself wearing that if it wasn't for the price tag. You know, those were going, I think, like $225 and stuff like that. So, all in all, man, got to have a pair of retros in a collection. You know, my number one. I actually, the other one just is a, I guess we can do kind of like a honorable mention that I was going to put for my retro was going to be the Carmine 6s. And kind of just for that reason, like you said, everybody talks about retro 1s, retro 11s, retro 12s. But I feel like the 6s is kind of, you know, more or less a slept on silhouette, not so much now with the Travis Scott's and stuff like that, but the Carmine 6s you don't see a bunch of, and I like to wear those too. The colors pop out, but all in all, I would probably still give the Black Cement 3s as my favorite overall retro in my personal collection.
Yeah, man, I'm with you too. Originally, it was my number one, and then I got my hands on the black flip threes, and since it's all black shoe, leather inside as well, it kind of became my number
yeah,
one favorite.
Yeah, that's like a dressy 20. Shoe, bro. You could wear that like somewhere nice, like that all black retro three with the leather.
Yeah, I definitely do, and I do it all the time, or not all the time, but I do it when I do step out. But the only bad thing about them is that it's all leather, even the inside, man.
Yeah,
it doesn't even breathe.
So you got to wear those thin socks with that, boy. Them thin socks.
Exactly, dress up, basically, man. All right, man. So the jumping off of retro, the next shoe you have on here is the Ultra Boost One.
The cream Ultra Boost 1.0, right? Yeah.
Yeah. Yep,
yeah,
yep.
Bro. They are old. I think that's a 2015 release, if I'm not mistaken. Like right at the beginning of 2015. That was probably one of the low key, the most hype or the first hyped colorway of the Ultra Boost. Like back then, the wave of Ultra Boost and NMDs was just kind of hitting stores and hitting the culture. But you know, all the colorways were kind of neutral. It was like a black with the white boost or a white on white. They hadn't released anything that really popped or got people excited. And I'll never forget, bro, going to work one day, up in Tampa, and I walked into work at like whatever 8 a.m. and there was people outside the store, and I'm like, yo, it's like a Wednesday. I'm like, what's going on? They're like, oh, you guys are getting these cream Ultra Boosts. We're gonna wait here until yada yada yada. I was like, what are you talking about? Like, I had no idea about the shoe yet. And then I went in, printed off our morning paperwork, and I seen the ASN from straight from Adidas come through with like, it was two ASNs, six in each one, bro, 12 pairs. And I remember being like, damn, we're only getting 12 of these shits, like looking them up right away, getting hyped about it. And at the time, asking my manager, like, yo, we're getting these shoes. And he was like, oh, yeah, I forgot to tell you about that. You opened today. So basically, bro, as soon as we got them in shipment, because they had a release date of that day, we got them out of shipment and, like, sold them right out the back. So obviously had to put your boy's pair to the side before any of that happened and copped them that day after work. And it's been a wrap ever since, man. I wore the hell out of those things up in Tampa while I worked up there for the longest. And then once again, that's a shoe that I step out in a lot. The cream color is super neutral tone. It looks really good with blue jeans as well. I have like two or three different, like, I have one Tommy Hilfiger polo that's like the same cream that matches it. I have like a polo cream that matches it. So it's just a really versatile color that I find myself wearing and liking the way it looks with a lot of different outfits.
Dude, that's an amazing colorway to get. I believe you have the 2018, the one that came out in 2018. I think we were both in Tampa at that time because the original pair came out like the 1.0. I think they came out in 2015, but I believe it's the 2018.
Wait, which one? No, I got the 20. You talking about these cream Ultra Boost? Yeah, that's what I'm saying, bro. You ain't hear the whole story, the whole 5-minute story of me going into work and people waiting out for them.
Oh, dude, but I'm trying to do it off memory too, man. But man, were we bumping?
Yeah, I think so. I think you were at that store up there. I don't know how specific we're getting, but you had something that rhymed with Schmeier Smash, and I was at Benner Bashional. And yeah, bro, I remember going to work one day. I had like a really high up, like a manager trainer working at that store, but I was like the assistant manager, and going there, bro. And people were waiting for him before I even knew about him. And this was, like I said, I wasn't even a store manager yet. So once I kind of heard the hype about him, I remember going in and printing the reports off and seeing like, oh, damn, we're only getting 12. And there was already like 6 or 7 people lined up at like 9 a.m. and we didn't get them until noon. So like as soon as we got them, I basically put my pair to the side and bought them after work that day. But yeah, I got them the day they came out. I got them basically as soon as they came in. I remember it was the first Ultra Boost I actually ever bought. To be honest, I never had an Ultra Boost before that one. And I've got like, I think I got 4 or 5 Ultra Boosts in my collection now. Those are probably, as far as overall shoes.
The 3.0s.
Yeah, I have the 1.0. I have the 2.0 silver metal ones. I have the 1.0 triple black with the black boost. I have the new triple black ones, the 2019s. So to me, the Ultra Boost is the most comfortable shoe. You know, if you're just talking about something to wear to work and you're going to be on your feet for like 10 to 12 hours a day like we do sometimes, bro, it really doesn't get more comfortable than an Ultra Boost. I know certain people will tell you Vapor Max. Certain people might tell you other things. But for me, if I'm ranking them, bro, Ultra Boost is number one.
Yeah, man, I would agree, bro. That boost material is out of the
Yeah, world. It really is. And that's part of the reason why I had to have it in my top five is just the comfort. I feel like at the end of the day, as much as we're into sneaker culture and what looks good with what and wearing stuff, you know, just as appearance, sneakers are on your feet to be comfortable and to support your feet, you know, give them cushion and whatnot. So that's why I got to put the Ultra Boost up there. It's a comfortable shoe. That cream colorway was super dope. I believe they've retroed that colorway. Is that what you were saying, bro? That yeah, they retroed it in 2018, right? Yeah, I did not cop this.
Right. Okay. I couldn't remember. I mean, I was trying hard. I was listening to your story, but I was like, man, I don't remember if it was 2018.
Nah, bro. In 2018, I think I tried to cop them and struck out. They sold out real quick on the re-release, and I was at a whole different, I was living in a whole different city. Yeah, I was in a whole different store and all that. But yeah, man, the cream Ultra Boost, that's probably, in all honesty, right below the South Beach LeBron in my overall. If I was going top five, I would keep that shoe just because I can wear it every day and it does look good if you do want to wear it out.
Yeah, I'm not mad at it, man. I have the multicolor 3.0s right now, and I love those.
Good shoe.
Yeah. All right, man. So the next shoe that you have on here is the Yeezys, the V1.
Yeah, yeah, bro. The of course, you know, I feel like we've kind of slowly but surely gotten like more hype beastie as we've gone through. But I mean, the Yeezys are what they are, bro. For me, I'm not into like the super hype beast aspect of the Yeezy in general, but the pirate black Yeezys is a good looking shoe to me. I'm not the type of person who is just going to buy anything that Kanye slaps his name on, but if a shoe looks good, it looks good, bro, and I'll buy it because I like the way it looks. And that's pretty much how I felt about the pirate blacks. These I did cop, you know, I think it was a 2016 release, so I got them back then when they came out. And to be honest, bro, I didn't wear them for a really long time because I kind of did buy into that whole hype, like, oh, don't wear your shoe, you know, your shoes, they have value, yada yada yada. But bro, there's something super empowering about that first time you do bust out a really nice shoe like that. And obviously, you know, once you wear it once, it's kind of game on after that. So I probably bought them in 2016, didn't wear them till 2017. Then I'll say since then, bro, I've stomped those things in the sand in South Beach. I took them up to New York and wear them in Manhattan, New York. I took them, bro, I took those shoes with me everywhere. Back up to Cincy a couple times and wore them up there. So it's another versatile shoe. Obviously, with the 350 Boost, you got that cushion throughout the... It's not as comfortable as an Ultra Boost, but it does still have a nice little cushion to it. But it just looks good with whatever you want to wear it with, man. I've worn them with shorts, like some black Adidas shorts. I've worn them with jeans, khakis, however you really want to pull off the look, bro. You can get down with them.
Yeah, man, I love them, man. I wish I would have got a pair. I remember I was trying to get the... I was trying to win every pair of the V1s that came out, man. Unfortunately, I always struck out, man. I never win anything, man, when it comes to sneakers or just raffles or anything, man. I'm always catching the L's.
I hear you, bro. Yeah, these ones were super excited to get my hands on. I remember getting that first Yeezy box, bro, that opened and just feeling so official, bro. And like I said, I felt so official I didn't even wear them for the longest time, bro. But eventually, I just decided to bust them out. And I think really what happened is once I wore them, I really liked the way they looked on my feet. I liked the way they felt. And like I said, they just kind of went with a lot of different outfits and stuff that I find myself wearing. I remember, bringing them to Miami and rocking them with a pair of, like, camo cargo shorts with some black pirate blacks and, like, a black tee. So it's just a really versatile shoe. Obviously, there's the whole Yeezy hype behind it as well, which, you know, I haven't really talked about that. But, you know, especially those, not as much, like, you know, everybody has a pair of V2s nowadays with the supply 350 all over the toe.
Do you have a pair of V2s?
I actually do. Guess which ones I got, bro? The all black ones. the ones that kind of look just like the pirate blacks. Yeah, bro, that's the only ones I got because, yeah, those are the only ones that kind of look good to me. I mean, I did cop, like, some different ones, the zebras and the creams and the Beluga 2.0s. I had all those at one point, but they kind of came and gone. Hold on, my dog's being stupid. Harley, quit. And overall, I just think that whenever I wear those original V1 Yeezys, they kind of turn people's heads a little bit more because I think people look at them. They obviously have a very similar silhouette to the V2s. But then once people do that double take and realize, oh shit, nah, that's the original V1 Pirate Black. You know, I've had a couple, like, even kids who I would consider like hype beasts be like, oh yeah, those are nice. It's like, yeah, bro, I know.
Yeah, man. I don't have any V1s, like I said. Now, is it true? Are the V1s like a little bit more flimsier than the V2s? Now, from what I've been told by one of my boys, Nick.
Yeah.
You know, Nick. He was telling me that the
like support, yeah, it feels like less stitching all together. And I'm like, the upper is almost just kind of sort of like one unilateral piece, like it kind of just goes over your foot. And when you cinch, that's another reason I like it, is like I can wear it all day, like you really don't feel the upper on your foot at all. And I really, one thing that's kind of like, I guess it's just a detail in the shoe, bro. I love the laces. Like, I don't know, that's sort of a slept on aspect of the shoe, but it's like kind of like an olive green tint lace. And it really just kind of like looks good on that black and red, like subtle backdrop of the shoe. But yeah, the laces are like real fat rope laces. And when you snug them up, you kind of have to tie them, not like super tight, but I do tie mine when I wear them. I don't rock them like untied or anything, because like you said, the upper is kind of flimsy, so you do have to tie them to sort of get support in your foot. But it is a good shoe. I've worn those and beat them pretty good, but I've cleaned them with crap and brought them back to life just because that's not the type of shoe that I want to look beat. You know what I mean? When I wear it, I do want it to look nice. I do want it to kind of pop out. So I do try to take care of those, but in the same breath, I wear them a lot.
I'm not mad at it, man. I wish I had a pair of V1s, and bro, trust me, I would have beat them down to the ground too, man. I have a few, like I said, I do have a few V2s, and I just stopped kind of wearing them because for one, most of them are 13.
Yeah, those ones run. That's really another thing. Those run half run size narrow. Small. The V1s don't really run a half size small. Like I can get a half size bigger in the V2, and it fits me the same way that Pirate Black V1 fits me. But. Mm-hmm. Yeah, man, that's the top five, right? So the Flyknit Racers, the South Beach, the Ultra Boost, the Yeezy, and the Black Cements.
Correct.
Yeah, not really any specific order. Like I said, if I absolutely had to rank at least out of those top five, I would put the South Beach at number one. Other than the rest of them kind of all sort of fall in place. Like I said, they each kind of have their own unique story of, you know, why I like them. You know, how I got them. That's another thing. I think all shoes kind of have that story of, like, you know, how you obtain them. Sort of you're tied to that story. You feel me? Like, you remember what mall or what store or what you had to do, if you had to wait outside, or even if you paid resale, bro, and you had to order them. I bet most people could tell you, like, oh, no, I ordered them off this website and paid this much for them. So, like, you're sort of always invested into your sneakers that type of way. And that's another thing I like about it. Hearing people's top five, dude, you know?
Sneakers. Yeah, same here.
Exactly,
man.
Right. 100%.
Sneakers are like tattoos, man. Because you remember exactly what that, like you said, man. And that's the best thing. Or that's one of the things I love. Or especially when you become like a real collector. I think that's probably one of the best things, is you have like a little story to it.
Exactly. Then that's the thing, like with Rob, I think Rob shouldn't have been first, because Rob had got his own weird tone. He had he had some Monarchs in his top five. He had some freaking, you know, he got his own little vibe, which I love Rob for that. But like, I sort of feel like it was a weird way to lead it off. But I love him for it, bro, because he's definitely got, Rob's got the originality. He's got the history to the, he's a true sneakerhead. Probably evolved beyond sneakerhead to, you know, sneaker connoisseur or something like that. But overall, I still feel like, you know, I get hyped about certain stuff, but I just don't purchase as much nowadays. You know, once you get a little bit older, your financial priorities change a little bit here and there. You know, back in my early 20s, spending, you know, $200 on shoes a month wasn't a big deal. But, you know, once you get older, your priorities change. So I still purchase shoes. I actually just copped the Retro Ones UNC to Chicago. That was probably my most recent purchase for sneakers. But, you know, that sneaker spoke to me, bro. I really like the silhouette of the Retro Ones. I love the story behind the UNC to Chicago kind of colorway. Obviously, no, I wouldn't call it a mismatched pair, but, you know, it's got that half blue, half red kind of look to it. So it stands out. And just with the Retro Ones, bro, I wear Retro Ones. I have bread ones, and I wear those all the time. So I sort of figured, instead of just wearing my bread ones all the time, I could get those in sort of the rotation. So, you know, I don't buy as much sneakers as I once was, but I sort of buy the same quality. I try to buy, you know, quality, not quantity nowadays.
Yeah, man, I'm with you on it too. I'm in the same boat. But that's a perfect segue to the next topic. Now, what are your top five grailed pairs that you would want to get and would love to get?
Oh man, just like overall, that's a great question. I going back to just with me saying, obviously the LeBron 9 South Beach being my number one overall in my collection. You know, one of my grails, and it's probably not my number one grail. People are gonna be like, oh, it's not even that expensive. But the LeBron 10 Cork, if you know the Cork 10s. Those are one of my grails. I just want to have those in my collection for the same reason I love the LeBron 9s, just the nostalgia, what that shoe means to me when it came out and that sort of thing. So the LeBron 10 Cork, that would be up there. I would throw some of those original V1 other 350s. Like, I really like the Oxford Tan and the Moonrock 350s. So I don't know, pick or choose one of those, probably the Moonrocks if I had to. I like those. Shoot, man, I don't know. It's hard to say because there's a lot of different LeBrons out there that I could probably just say, you know, just go down my list of LeBron grails and be happy with that. I would throw some dunks in there, like the pigeon dunks. If I could get my hands on a pair of those pigeon dunks, I would definitely be a happy man.
You got another retro in there,
and not even just to buy into the hype. I do like the olive green colorway. Those Travis Scott sixes are pretty clean. I do like that olive green color is a nice color. I would probably wear that like down the road, not even right now, but you know, 5 years from now, find myself wearing that. So what? That's four. So I need one more. Oh shoot, bro! I'd have to throw a nice Nike Air Max in there. Like, oh man, I really like those Mars Air Max 90s. You know, the Mars landing or like the moon landing ones.
The moon landing, when you take a picture, they're orange, but when you take a picture of it,
it's yeah, exactly. Yeah. I would maybe throw those in there, or you know what? Nah, I'm gonna switch that up, bro. I lied. My last one would be the Dornbecker 97, or not the Dornbecker, but the Sean Witherspoon 97s, those colorful corduroy 97s.
Yeah,
bro, because those kind of remind me of the same reason I like the Flyknit Racers. It's funny, like my top five grails kind of are just better versions of my own personal top five that you know what I'm saying that I've been able to obtain. But them Sean Witherspoon 97s are colorful. But in the same breath, it's like a 97 silhouette. So it's an everyday silhouette that you can wear. And it just pops out. Obviously, the collab with Sean Witherspoon is a sick collab. I would probably want to throw, if we're getting like top five grails, like some Ronnie Fieg Asics in there or like some of the Kith collabs. But, you know, won't get too greedy. Like some undefeated 97s. But yeah, man, there's so many out there, man.
Yeah, any undefeated collab. Dude, there's so many, bro. I haven't yet posted the picture.
I was gonna ask you before it was over, bro. When are we gonna find out your top five? Because you're gonna have to contribute on this as well.
I think I'm gonna do it tomorrow. I think I'm gonna post it tonight, and then I'll do it tomorrow, or post it tomorrow. I'm thinking about it. I just don't know, man, because I don't know if I want to do like the, you know, circle of all threes, because I really, like, threes are legit what I wear. Like, you'll catch me in threes all the time. Or if I want to be like, you know, a little hypey a little bit and put like, you know, some Yeezys in there, you know, put some SBs. I don't really know what I want to do with it, man. It's just because I don't know how I, you know, when I say top, when I think of top five, I think of like top five that you actually wear, but then people flip it around and it's top five that
kind of a hybrid of what you just said. Like, it's my top five shoes that I actually wear, bro. You know, like, I have a couple shoes in there that's still dead stock, bro, but I'm not going to put, like, you know, the prom night 11s or, like, certain stuff that I don't really wear, like the other Yeezys or certain stuff. Those aren't going to be in my top five because this is top five shoes that I wear. Like, my sneakers, shit that's, like, you know what I mean? Smell like my feet on the inside.
Right. Yeah, I am out of it, man. And that's the thing, man. I have to like legit just sit down, go through the Great Wall of 13, and just pull, you know, five pairs that I like and that I wear and that
kind of. Yeah, I'm sure you can do it, bro. I know it'll be a tough challenge, but you'll be able to do it. But like when I was doing it, bro, I automatically was the same way. I'm like, oh bro, I'm about to just throw like all my different Flyknit racers and be like, tell the different stories of why I like each one, or do a couple Ultra Boost and then like do a couple retros. But I was like, no, let me do like a little bit of everything.
Yeah, and I think that's what I'm gonna do too, man. I think I'm gonna do my infrared threes that I have. Probably gonna do like my gold toned ones. Probably gonna be like my reverse belugas. And then I can't think of another two more.
Yeah, you gotta let them speak to you.
Maybe some LeBrons. Yeah. I got some LeBrons I gotta pull out. I got some old ass LeBrons, man. I got some. I'm wearing my 10s right now. Those are my beaters. But they're fucking comfortable, man.
Yeah, the 10s have the full Air Max bubble. I love the LeBron 10s. The 8s and 10s have that full bubble.
I got the watermelon 10s, yep. Mm-hmm. So I don't know, man. I just got to sit down here. Just like I said, I'll post it tomorrow. Tomorrow I'm doing I'm doing one with TJ. And TJ had, after hearing the podcast with Rob, he had to like switch his top five up because he had all the hype beasts. And TJ is not a hype beast man, but he's definitely like a collector.
Yeah.
He gets exclusive shit. So, you know, the podcast with Rob, he was definitely like, oh, wait, let me switch it up and have like more of like a, you know, more of a backstory so we could talk more about it instead of just being like not, like, you know, dead stock pairs that he has.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's what's up, bro. You're going to do one with Abe, too? I know he got some crazy heat.
Oh, man, don't even get me started with this old man, bro. He don't want to do it, man. He's scared.
Why?
I have no idea, man. I'm just poking fun at him, man. Hopefully we'll get him on. We'll get him comfortable. And I just, you know how it is, bro. Remember the first time we did our podcast that I've never fucking posted?
There's still one. This ain't my first appearance on the Welcome to the Family. This is technically my second, but probably the first that's going to be posted. There's a anonymous second first original OG episode out there. What was it even, bro? It was like top five rappers or top five sports athletes or something like that.
Yeah, we did top five rappers of all time, and then we went over T.I.'s.
That's like, what it was. Five, yeah, he is right when T.I. had came out with that list, and we went over that. And then it was the top
five. Yep, and then we did top
athletes
five
of all time. Yeah, bro, you got to post that, bro. I'm gonna put the pressure before quarantine over. You got to put that. I want to hear it. I don't even remember what I said. Shit.
Yeah, I'm gonna
surprise my own self.
And I was right. It was some good shit, man. I just got, like you said, I just got to post it. Unfortunately, I have a shitty laptop, and you know, once I make money off of this, which I'm never gonna happen. then I'll buy a laptop, or maybe, man, just stop buying shoes for a couple months, and then we'll see if I can save up.
Yeah, bro, just buy some scratch offs instead of shoes.
Right, there we go. Gotta make a million somewhere.
But yeah, bro, it was a good list. I like I said, I like hearing everybody's different top fives. I like sort of seeing the story behind it, understanding what makes people. You can learn a lot about people just by what they pick and sort of their style, their preference, you know.
Yeah, man, that's true. Unfortunately, man, it's you know, especially when it comes to shoes, man, you make a lot of assumptions about people. So, you know, being sneakerheads and everything and knowing people who like sneakers and, you know, if you're going to wear like a GR pair and you're saying you're a sneakerhead, I'm going to kind of look at you
right.
Different. Not in a bad way, but just as like, you're all right, well.
That's what we're doing.
Yeah, right. Like, I'm not mad at it, man. I'm not judging you, but. We gotta
yeah, exactly. But.
But all right, Alex, man, it was a pleasure talking to you as always. Stay safe out there, man. Get more toilet paper, drink a lot of water.
Yeah.
And
yeah, man, I'm going to keep quarantining, bro. I'm a king quarantiner out here. I got that Netflix and chill. I got that PlayStation set up on the TV. I can do this for a couple more weeks, bro. I ain't mad at it.
Yeah, I'm not mad at it either, man. Oh, before we end this. What have you been watching?
Oh, man, of course you already know everybody's going through the Tiger King. Me and the wifey blew through the whole Tiger King. Actually, funny story with that. She bought me last year on my birthday. She bought me tickets to the Big Cat Rescue up in Tampa. So obviously before any of this, way before that documentary came out or anything, we had gone up there because I'm super into tigers. And for my birthday, that was her sort of surprise gift, was she bought me tickets to go up there. So we had checked out that Big Cat Rescue already. And so when this came on Netflix, we're like, oh shit, it's about that place we've been. We got to watch it. And then obviously, you know, the whole story with Joe Exotic and shit is so crazy. But so blew through the Tiger King, bro. If I had to make one recommendation, I would say The Platform on Netflix. I don't know if you've watched it or if anybody listening to this has seen it yet, but definitely check it out. You did watch it, bro.
Amazing.
So how the food goes up in the different levels and shit like that.
Yeah, man, not everyone eats if you're a level 300. Which
yeah,
is bottom,
man, and it's an interesting concept, especially I feel like it's super relevant to, you know, the social happenings nowadays where, like, you know, like you've been making the joke about toilet paper, bro, about everybody just taking a little bit too much, you know, than taking more than what they need. And that's sort of what that movie is about, The Platform. Obviously, like you kind of alluded to, the concept is there's a tray of food, basically a table of food that gets lowered through a platform starting – at level one, you know, they get a full feast, and then whatever they don't eat goes to level two, and so on and so forth. So, like you mentioned, once you're on level, you know, even 150, there's not much food left. But definitely a cool concept. I really enjoyed the film. Sort of a weird ending, but I felt like that was coming regardless. It was going to be one of those movies that was hard to end. But overall, it was a dope movie, bro, and I liked the concept, and I think it might make people think about things a little bit differently.
Yeah, man, I did not like the ending, like you said, but it was a great concept. I love the movie. Yeah, I agree with you 100%. Everything you said,
Definitely, bro. So watch that. You know, for all the conspiracy theorists out there, if you got nothing but time and opportunity with the quarantine, bro, from JFK to 9/11, a rich man's conspiracy. It's on on YouTube. Check that out. It's like 2 hours, 3 hours long. But yo, if you got nothing but time and opportunity, definitely it'll break down the JFK assassination for you if you're interested in that at all.
Yeah, that's what I've been doing, man, a lot too, especially during this quarantine, looking at conspiracy theories, you know, urban legends, Operation Paperclip, and for NASA.
Oh yeah, they got all the Nazis all shit, facts. Yeah, they talk about that in the movie, bro. They talk about that in the JFK to 9/11. They talk a lot about Operation Paperclip, Wernher von Braun, and all that.
Yeah, man, it's fucking wild, man. Yeah, man. Also, just a public service announcement, guys. Catch up on your anime. If you fuck with anime, which I do. Watch if you have Netflix or Hulu, watch My Hero Academia. All the seasons are out right now.
Whoa.
So catch up on that. Well,
One Punch Man. My little brother got me into that One Punch Man.
Oh yeah, man, that's just dope.
Yeah,
man.
That my little brother be into that shit. It is dope.
Yeah, man, you gotta catch up on it, bro. Catch up on all the animes, bro. Let me know. Text me later. I'll send you a list of good shit to watch on Netflix and.
Got
on
you. Yeah, I got both, bro. So I'm gonna hit you up.
I got you, man. But all right, man, stay safe out there, man. Stay blessed.
All right, man, let me know when you post it and post my other shit, too. All right, peace, love, and happiness.
All right, man.